Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're back for part two of our concerns episode about the Ravens' depth by position group and specifically their ability to withstand injuries by position group. And discussing that with me has been Sean Asher. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm good, Ken. Always good with you, buddy.
Fun talking football. Always had a very spirited first half of this discussion and some significant differences in viewpoint of where the Ravens are most able to withstand injury. But why don't we talk about the positions we've talked about so far in your order, from most insulated to least insulated, and what you had as the rating on a 5-point scale too.
Yep. So 5 being the most insulated, I had cornerback, tight end was close with a 4.9, 5.0. It just depends on personnel and packages. And then I started getting into the 4s, which is wide receiver, offensive tackle, and outside linebacker. And then 3 for me was defensive line.
Okay. And those are the ones we've talked about so far. I had the tight end group as being the most insulated at 5. I don't even think see how they're going to give the snaps out there. Cornerbacks at a 4, but I'm coming around to thinking they're probably closer to a 5 than a 4 based on some of the comments we started to talk about, some of the other solutions they have that might, you know, have Hamilton taking slot corner snaps, for example, obviously is something that makes your cornerbacks that much more deep. Then I had outside linebackers being the third. I had running backs the fourth. That was a huge point of disagreement, worth some discussion there. But I think the Ravens have been great at stylistic fit matching when they needed to find somebody. And I think, Sean, it would be very concerned about loss of Henry.
Yeah, very concerned. But I totally get where you're coming from. Totally get that. I just don't want to see Latavius Murray or Dalvin Cook or Melvin Gordon carrying the ball again. Like, I'm so, okay. I'm good.
So Devontae Freeman and Kenyon Drake are okay. The rest of those guys are no good. Yeah. The vet running backs the Ravens have got, obviously, neither of us were very happy about, so we had a little fun with that. So running back was my fourth most insulated at a three, then wide receiver at a three, which we talked about. And they have some options there to go to 12 personnel to overcome some of that. Offensive tackle at a three, largely by number of bodies in terms of that. And they do have a singular quality backup in McCary that I think they can really depend on. And then defensive line, which you had as a little more malleable as a position you could accept a loss at, I have as a two. I think they're the fall off in play gets pretty significant. And the Ravens actually had a remarkable year of keeping everybody healthy last year. So the depth concern never has shown up, so to speak. True. But they averaged 44% of the snaps for each of them last year. So anyway, some differences so far. We still have four position groups left to talk about. What's the highest group remaining on your list?
Interior offensive line. So diving in, I guess we're assuming Voorhees is going to be our left guard. We know Tyler Linderbaum's going to be our center. And I guess we're also assuming Cleveland's going to be our right guard. But is Cleveland going to show up to camp in shape to the conditioning steps, the conditioning test, and John Harbaugh's liking? And is he going to get the chance to actually show that? Who knows? And then Voorhees, like, I watch college tape when I want to, but I didn't watch anything on the guy. And I, you know, it's coming off a big knee injury. Interior offensive linemen tend to do better coming off of those things, but still kind of an unknown. So the question marks at the beginning of the depth chart on interior offensive line outside of Tyler Linderbaum, they're there. And then outside of that, we've got McCary, which we don't really want to do. We talked about that in the first episode. We've got Jones. We've got Sala, who may make it. And then maybe Falele plays some guard or something. And then rookie Nick Samak. Mm-hmm. Just fun fact, if you go to the Ravens website, you click on his name on the roster, you'll see a picture of Andrew Voorhees and Nick Samak.
I did not know that. That's very funny.
Nick Samak is in the background, really, really blurry. And like, it's probably not intentional or, you know, like, obviously not. But I think that's kind of a great metaphor for how he fits this roster this year. Like, just kind of a blur in the background. So, yeah, it's kind of scary. There's bodies there that we have, but like, other than that, Tykeem Doss, Tyshawn Manning, like, I don't, it's kind of sketchy.
Tyshawn Manning would be the guy. You know, I think he may be higher up on the depth chart than we even think. How I would see it, and you laid it out pretty clearly, I think Voorhees and Cleveland are the de facto starters, or the most likely starters. Voorhees has been getting all the time, but he also, they have the most to gain by having him work out. It's very similar, by the way, to the Rosengarten situation, that if they could find out he's a player right now, it could really help them develop him more over the 4 years that he's here, potentially sign him to an early extension, whereas you don't always have that option with the Ravens lineman who develops in year four. Or even late in year three, you don't have enough information. So Ben Cleveland played a couple of great games in year three here. Does that mean we could extend him? Well, not really. I don't think that the team is really ready to do that. With Ben Cleveland, they've got the more typical situation with a guard that they with the lineman at all, that they want to make sure he gets playing time in year four so that he's at least nets them a comp pick, but probably could also be a guy they sign during the season. So if Ben Cleveland gives him a great half season at right guard, he could be a guy they extend. And I think that could be an exciting thing, but I don't think they're incented to put Josh Jones out there. They own none of Josh Jones's future. They do have the same right that they would with Cleveland to have a guy who they could potentially re-sign in the middle of the season. But Cleveland is a much more likely to draw the comp pick, so I think they're more likely to go with that. He's also just a better fit for the position. He's been held back from playing left guard because his feet were not ideal for pulling, I think. But at right guard, he's more of the open the front gate guy. There will still be some pulling responsibilities. Kevin Zeitler pulled, but he's more of a guy who is naturally at home where he played in Georgia at right guard. And I think that makes a lot of sense. If they go with anything else to start the season, I'm officially going to be surprised. And I know they've tried some different things, Fale Lele in there at right guard and other things I've heard about from the OTAs and minicamp. And I don't believe any of that is happening. And they did stick with Sala. They rode out Sala a little more after trying to use him very, very famously last year at guard. I think whatever they've got in mind, it's not that. It won't be Fale Lele at guard to start the year. At least I don't see it that way. And how do you feel about Jones as the primary backup guard on either side?
2 points there. One, honestly, I'm hoping Fale Lele is a backup guard, and it's super selfish, but like watching Kelechi Osemele, that mammoth of a human being, just like get a full head of steam and just wreck havoc, like that's just so fun to see. So I'm hoping Fale Lele gets it, but yeah, maybe Jones, but it's just such a big question mark. Like, I get that he went to Arizona and he was at Houston, and like however I feel about those two teams and their organizations and how, I follow more knowledgeable fans as a whole, they talk about the ownership and the general management, and you can kind of see some of the points and the deficiencies. So, but it's still two different data points of two different teams where this guy just really didn't live up. So,
right.
I don't know what you do in depth outside of that, to be honest with you. It's kind of scary. But to the other point about Vahoris, it really does benefit them so much, because even if his ceiling is a B-minus player, we could be looking at the next guard for the Ravens for the next decade, just because they're putting him in that position right now, and wherever he goes, we are heavily ahead of the eight ball in being able to discern, decipher, make decisions, and pay him accordingly.
Yeah, I completely agree with that comment. And it's the way to do it is, you really, at offensive line in particular, you need to grade on the curve for players just starting out in the NFL and realize that, hey, it's okay to have a C year your first year. In fact, it's really good. And yeah. Tyler Linderbaum probably had a C-plus year his first year. Had a really bad pass blocking year, really good run blocking year. In his case, it was even less clear that the problems could be fixed. But his second year, they were fixed. And it had a remarkable step forward. I think that we've seen that so many times. We've seen improvement in year-over-year play from those guys. The Ravens have proved so good at it. They almost got a little full of themselves with John Simpson and perhaps now Jones. So with John Simpson, I think they said his only problem is penalties. We can fix that. And he came in. Of course, they couldn't fix that. He had exactly the same number of penalties as he did in Oakland or LA, Las Vegas, as he had for the Ravens. So it's not a improvement there. With Josh Jones, they're taking a risk on the same thing. He's a guy who has had actually 36% more penalties per snap than John Simpson. So he's 1,360 millisimpsons on the Simpson penalty scale. So it's really not a good place to be. Let's put it that way. And so the Ravens again have set themselves up needing to fix an offensive lineman in a way here that I don't think we're sure they can do.
I think I think there's some bias on your end of grading offensive linemen and watching offensive linemen, because when the Jets signed Simpson, I was like, what? Why? We're getting a comp pick for this guy? So, like, I think, you know, subpar offensive guard play is like, okay, you can play though. Like, you're going to play in the snaps, and we know what to expect. And that's worth more than just like not knowing, taking a chance on a guy. And like, teams are willing to pay for a guy that at least is predictable, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's if you look at Brandon Stevens and Ben Cleveland, those two players going into this year, both are in their walk year. And either or both presumably could contribute to the comp formula in a very positive way for the Ravens. If I had to assign a percentage chance to either granting a fourth round comp pick, I'm not even sure that Cleveland wouldn't be higher than Stevens based on the current markets for those positions. The guard market went so crazy this last year. Ben Cleveland is an Adonis in terms of how he looks now. He's built top to bottom. I mean, very top heavy player, but exceptionally powerful man. He's exactly who you'd want to guard. If he combines that with a B season this year, and John Simpson with a D season, and all these other guys like Hunt with B seasons, who are at the top of the market, get $20 million a year, then, you know, why on earth would you not? Would Ben Cleveland not get a really big contract after the season if he has that kind of year? I think he could really do very well for himself after the season. So anyway, I'm not entirely. I don't think there's even a 50% chance he'll play as well as Zeitler did this last year. But if he does, he's going to be a very hot commodity for the
Ravens won't be able to afford it.
Yeah.
Neither would they want to. Neither would we ask him to, because that's, you know, it's rough. I bet Marshall Yanda is sitting in his tractor in Iowa, just like, man, these contracts. That guy's getting that much money. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
it's been 5 years since Yanda retired. Right, 2019 was his final year.
Yes, 2019 was. Yep.
So it's at least at now, it's not a question of he could still be playing in the NFL. At least I don't think it is. But he's, you know, a great player. Now he's looking forward to the Hall of Fame. That's what he gets to look forward to.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Let's see. So I had IOL in there, and it was the next highest that I hadn't mentioned yet. It was my number fifth least insulated from injury. Oh, I'm sorry. We missed an important topic here. There's no backup for Tyler Linderbaum.
It's a blur. It's a blur of a guy in the background. Yeah. I mean, we talked about McCary in the first episode, but he has to be the guy, right?
I don't know. I think it could be Sam Ack. We could see how that plays out. But McCary is too valuable to the team, I believe, as a backup tackle to consider moving him anywhere else. I mean,
we had Tristan Colon Castillo, and then he got signed for a 2-year deal by the Denver Broncos, I think it was. So, like, I mean, or was it Sam Mustafa?
I think Sam Mustafa last year we had. So
last year, and then before that,
he hung on the verge of the practice squad. By the way, it is much easier to find a center you need from the top of somebody else's practice squad. It's nobody likes to double up at center when they're keeping only 9 linemen. That's the basic true. There. So they want to have swing guys, but they'll often have a guy who's a pretty decent backup center sitting at the top of their practice squad. So if you do have a serious injury occur, that is a place you can go to, not the street, but the top of the league's aggregate practice squad to find your guy.
Yep. So yeah, I think we're probably going to start agreeing on these. It'd be surprised if we didn't. Next, three left. Yeah. Three left. Yep. Well, I had 4, but we're already past halfback. Next least insulated to me is middle linebacker. Trenton Simpson, Roquan Smith. Great, great combo. After that, you've got Josh Ross, Chris Board, and 2 UDFAs, and Malik Harrison. And I don't... So you lose Roquan Smith. You're taking a massive hit, regardless of who comes in, how well they play. It doesn't matter. You're not going to find anybody that's close to Roquan Smith's tier, not just in terms of play, but what they do with the green dot, knowing the defense, knowing what the offense is generally going to be doing. You're just not going to find that. So whether it's Ross, Board, or Malik Harrison, that's a significant, significant drop off. Trenton Simpson, you lose him. Are we just committed to dime at that point? Because I don't know what else we could do. I don't know that any of those guys are going to fill in for Trenton Simpson very well.
Yeah, I think that's probably what would happen. You need a two down guy on the run to play the weak side. And by the way, this really goes for both positions, because I think you can't replace Roquan, and their level of play would drop off significantly. It's just limiting the damage as much as you can. So they would get, I think they would go to a two down run stopping inside linebacker. That might be Malik Harrison on a very temporary basis, meaning one or two games. If it's not, they might have to go to the street for it. Or you could potentially, it could be Evandy Rigby, who's got the right size for it. He's like 239 out of Temple. Yep. Well, he's one of the guys I'm really looking forward to seeing in camp and during the preseason to see just, can this guy really play? Josh Ross is really more of a weak side guy, I think, because a decent cover guy. I think he could be part of your solution if you lost Simpson, or he could be a third down solution as a two-man tandem if you lose Roquan. The more likely two-man solution would be to have whoever that running back is, the inside linebacker, I feel like Biden right now in terms of trying to get through this, but have your two down run stopping inside linebacker at the mic, and then bring in a dime back with Simpson moving over to that side of the field on third down.
That makes sense. That would
take away a lot of Simpson's playmaking ability, potentially, if he has more coverage responsibilities. I'd rather kind of just, you know, the dime effectively to take Roquan's coverage responsibilities on third down. Simpson is still a free roaming playmaker on those downs. And of course, no matter what, the Ravens are going to lose a lot, because Roquan, you know, part of the value they get is the defense works off Roquan to diagnose. So if he's finding the right gap where the ball carrier is, Queen in particular was a guy who very well reacted to what Roquan was doing in terms of part of his recognition. So anyway,
you just sent me on this interesting rabbit hole of thought process of, if one of them did go down, Kyle Hamilton and the dime, and just like how nasty that would be.
It's a great thought. I wouldn't want to put Kyle there for the risk of injury. He's already been out and whatnot. I love him at slot corner. I'm okay with how he can help the team on the back end too. I mean, I think he has good instincts. I just think it kind of minimizes who he is. I think you want to be able to move the guy around. And if that means he's in lined up on the interior on some third downs, that's fine too. But, I want a regular dime back. I want an Anthony Levine guy. I want, you know, maybe Bo Braid is that guy. Maybe Sanusi Kane is that guy. I don't think either of those guys, by the way, is the split field guy. So I'm hoping that one of them is a potential dime back that they keep around for special teams and potential dime usage if anything breaks down at inside linebacker. All right. So anyway, that was inside linebacker, my third least insulated position. That's true for you too, right, Sean? We have a frozen Sean right now, so I'm not sure if he's trying to talk or not. All right, I'm going to assume Sean has dropped off for a minute. We're going to try and fix this in a moment. I'll move on to the position.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So Head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
I'm fairly sure is number two for both of us, and that's safety. All right, just hope Sean rejoins us here. Couple things about this. For starters, there is no backup to Marcus Williams on this team right now. They do not have a free safety backup that they would want to use there. They either would have to make a big sacrifice in moving Hamilton back to free safety, or they have to go and still find that guy who could be the free safety. I don't believe Ardarius Washington is the guy. If he was, it breaks a lot of the, you know, standard rules of, you know, what you'd want at tackling from free safety. And we saw Marcus Williams have trouble tackling. That didn't work out that well for the Ravens last year. So, I think the Ravens are very far down the road of needing a free safety. I do think that one of the things that's probably happening right now is the Ravens are waiting for the market to go into free fall for these safeties. And the closer we get to camp and even more the regular season, the closer some of these veteran free agent safeties, where there are some big names still, and there probably are some other talented players, are going to start becoming available on a more limited one-year basis. So right now you have, you know, last year it was Van Noy that they got cheap, and they got him, you know, four games into the regular season. One second, please. Yeah. Okay. He's trying to reconnect here. I'll just continue to talk about the safety position while we're going here. So they may not have the proper set of safeties in total right now. For whatever reason, they have not re-signed Daryl Worley yet. They have other options in terms of the practice squad they haven't gone after yet as well. And I think they still need, on game day, to have five safeties active to make four. And the reason I say that, you got to be extra careful that you have enough safeties if you're using Hamilton at slot corner, if you're occasionally going to use a dimeback, if you need those positions covered, and then you have two safeties you play normally, you really need to have five active on game day to make sure that you're not forced into a position where you can't put Hamilton where you most want him. Okay. Marcus Williams will always be the deep safety. Hamilton, you'll always want in there, and you'll always want him, you know, as many downs as possible. You're going to want him at slot corner. We already saw games, obviously, in 2023 when Hamilton was moved out of his normal spot, out of the slot corner role because he had to because of injury. Now, it would be a shame if that happened again and they didn't have a ready to go solution. And by the way, that could be a potential Ardarius Washington at safety situation that, you know, I have no concern about Ardarius Washington being the guy who gets you through one or two guys as a split field guy on the back end. But I do have a problem with him being standing up to the tackling responsibilities of being a safety for an entire season. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think Ardarius specifically makes much more sense in the slot as his regular position. So we'll see how that works out. Braid and Kane, Bo Braid and Sinusi Kane, neither of those guys do I believe is the split safety option that they really need. I think either of them could be a dime back, and both of them are probably pretty good special teamers. So hopefully that will work out from that perspective. But I don't see either of them as being a guy who is going to take a split field responsibility and allow Hamilton to move up on downs. They really want to play 12 and do that. We'll see. Maybe Braid is a slightly more likely player to do that. But in my opinion, both of those guys are a little short, and they're certainly both a little short as rookies and adapting to the NFL. So anyway, at safety, I'm expecting another signing, which could change the number I have assigned to this. I have safety as a two, and in the same category, although more severe than both defensive line, inside linebacker, and interior offensive line. In terms of the significant, all those positions, very, very prone to injury. All right, Sean, we got you back here, buddy. So I went through my thoughts on the safety position, and I just want to let you do it. I won't try and go back and forth with you on this because I just pretty much have talked about all my thoughts about safety, which is the second least insulated position on the Ravens currently.
Yeah, same here. It's scary to me. And the biggest question mark is Kyle Hamilton a safety? And if he's a safety, great. But outside of that, it's terrifying. Kane, Bo Brad, Sinusi Kane and Bo Brad, I thought both of those guys were seventh round UDFA guys that we would like. And maybe I just like Brad because it's University of Maryland. But then outside of that, Ardarius Washington, and that's why I'm so lost how he's in the mix at slot corner. To me, he has to be a safety.
I think he makes much more sense at slot corner, which is why I think they need a safety. They need to go to the street to get safety. And I didn't want to take away from you, but I went through all the things about, I think, Kane and Brader, dimebacks and whatnot. I just want to make sure you get your... let me just ask it as a question. Does the team have any backup for Marcus Williams at this point at free safety?
I don't think so. And I honestly don't think you can find that guy. Like, I went through and looked at who's available. Eddie Jackson is the closest to being able to play, you know, half the field deep. But, you know, at this point in his career, I don't know that he's going to be able to even do it. So, there's a lot of weight, and then it circles back to if somebody gets injured, I feel like Marlon Humphrey kind of becomes the guy.
I'm completely okay with that if Marlon Humphrey were to become the guy. Or was Eddie Jackson last year Ooh, that's ugly. He gave up over 10 yards a target. In fact, over 11 yards a target last year. Yeah, looks like 11.3.
The only guy, other guy was Justin Simmons, and it seemed like he's probably more fit for a strong safety nowadays.
That's right. Justin, yeah, that's the reason.
Justin, I think.
It's Justin Simmons. Yeah, the ex-Bronco. Yeah, he's played his whole career in Denver so far. How old is Simmons now? Is about to turn 31 in a few months. There's lots of reasons to like Simmons, but he did give up 9 yards a target last year. So before you get all excited and give up 10 yards a target the year before you get all excited about Justin Simmons playing the back end, look at those two numbers and some of that excitement should go away pretty quickly.
No.
So I think the guy that they want there is probably Worley. It might be another guy that they think has the tools, maybe hasn't lived up to it so far. It might be a guy who gets cut. But free safeties, the nice thing about it is the size and shape pool is very deep, and the NFL the NCAA is producing a ton of them. College football, let's put it that way, is producing a ton of them every year from which to pick. I trust the Ravens to find a guy who can really help them on the back end.
Yep. And I mean, we've seen it. We've seen the Ravens do it before. Baby Ed Reed, Omar Brown. There's a name, a wild name from years past. I mean, he lit it up in the preseason. I think he fell on or came into possession of like six different balls in four preseason games. It was a pretty wild run.
All right. So safety, we both had as the second most. I guess we know what the position that's most subject to injury is.
Yep, absolutely. Got to be quarterback. And I get it. I also hate it. You know, when I looked back and saw the contracts that were given out this year to backup free agents, Joe Flacco, one-year deal, $8.7 million.
Damn.
Marcus Mariota, one-year deal with the Commanders, $6 million. Jameis Winston, he's proved he's not the guy. He's proved he's not going to be the guy. 1 year, $4 million with the Browns.
So a lot of teams go the route of you have a guy and you have a backup. And I think it might even be more prevalent that you have a guy who is not the guy. You get another guy who is not the guy. And you try and see if either of them. The Browns seem to have about four guys who were not the guy last year. Yep. Starting with Deshaun Watson. I understand the team's desire to have a prospect there, and now there's your roster advantages to keeping three quarterbacks that because you can get a third one into the game if you need to. And the Browns were kind of the poster child for having a backup quarterback really help them get to the postseason. It's kind of hard to say their strategy didn't work last year.
Yeah, absolutely worked last year. And I think a lot of teams kind of value that, the guys that had some success for years and then, you know, aren't the guy anymore, age, and they've shown that they're not going to get you a Super Bowl. So, you know, they come in and try to keep you alive. And yeah, to me, it's a bigger sign of the contract that Lamar signed and roster construction and everything else that goes into cap that we just don't have that guy this year. And I don't know that we ever really will again.
So just to talk about the Ravens situation for me, they have Josh Johnson, who's, you know, 58 years old or whatever he is now. He's 39, I believe, this year. And they have Devin Leary, a rookie sixth round pick. Devin Leary, a pocket passer. Obviously, the offense is going to have to be totally retooled if they got to a point where Devin Leary is playing. And yet I think that might be the silver lining of a loss of Jackson for several games, or, you know, you can't find a silver lining in the pile of dog crap that would be losing Jackson for the season at any point. Yep. But because if he misses, if you lose him for the season, you lose him for the playoffs, and the Ravens are dead in terms of any potential to win the Super Bowl at that point. But a silver lining would be a trial by fire for Devin Leary. That I think the Ravens would switch immediately if it's more than a one or two game injury, they'd switch immediately from trying to have Johnson get them through, and it might be Leary anyway, to having to try to determine what they have in Devin Leary as a quarterback. Can they build an offense around him? Does he sling the ball around effectively such that he's a guy they can rely on for 4 to 6 games in a future year if it were to happen? But the Ravens have kind of, with the contract, I think you're right, they've kind of set themselves up as they need to ride or die with Lamar Jackson. And if Lamar Jackson goes down, I mean, so many components. You can make the argument all 22 players are made worse as soon as that happens.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, and the stadium environment is made a lot worse too. Even if it's an away game, you know, there's lots of fans that don't really want to see that. But yeah, to your point, I think Josh Johnson probably is the number two quarterback. Devin Leary gets that third activation, which isn't an activation unless Johnson goes down as well. If it is an injury that keeps Lamar out for more than 4 games or something like that, then they probably do decide to put Devin in and go as soon as they are aware of what's happening with Lamar. If it's a season ending thing, it just makes too much sense to put Devin in for the rest of the season and see what you get.
Yeah. And you're no doubt going to have growing pains, but who cares at that point? If you've lost Jackson, if Jackson is lost, there's, I don't believe there's going to be a street solution that reinstalls the Ravens as even a remote Super Bowl contender. I don't believe that they can go to the street and find a guy. And maybe if it's before the trade deadline, you go out and get a Kirk Cousins or something. I don't know.
Ryan Tannehill is available right now. So okay. I'm not saying go sign Ryan Tannehill right now, but if we're looking at, you know, week 12 and we're, you know, 10-2 or something like that, Lamar went down, I'm in favor of going and getting Ryan Tannehill, you know?
I guess I probably would be too, even seeing after the 9-3, 8-3 Ravens did to blow their playoff opportunity in 22. Yep. You know, they still made it, but then they didn't do anything in the playoffs. 21 was the year, right? They had a really great.
Yep.
In any case, I want to be reasonable about this. I don't know what Tannehill's going to make. So if he wants to come back to the league and try and get it done, I don't think it's worth a lot to me as a season ticket holder to waste a lot of next year's cap, because it would all be done via borrowing mechanisms.
True.
To sign a Ryan Tannehill to improve our playoff chances from 0% without Lamar Jackson and riding Devin Leary to 1.2% with Ryan Tannehill.
So true. So true. I just don't want to see. What was his name with the mustard pants? First round pick for Carolina.
Not Cam Newton.
Nope. It was the Clausen, Jimmy Clausen. I don't want to see that again. I don't want to see that again. I'll take Tannehill over some guy like that any day. But yeah, that season that Hurst gave up the pressure, Flacco tore his knee. That was just pain. That was just pain. And I don't want to see that. I just don't want to see that. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess it just depends on when it happens and where the team is at as a whole. You know, if we're relatively overall healthy and we're looking at a 1 or 2 seed, I'd rather get into the playoffs as the 7th seed than just keep losing and missing out on it.
Okay. All right. I do love playoff football, and I love the Ravens taking their chance. And the older Ravens teams that they still had Flacco, but they had a lot of offensive problems. I still enjoyed watching them play playoff football. Yep. That there's really something to be said for that. So I understand your position there.
Yep.
We did mention in the first episode, we're not going to look at kicker, punter, and long snapper in this group. The reason was that if you lose any of those guys, you've got to go to the street and make a 1-for-1 replacement of that guy. And I think all teams are in a similar position. You could certainly make the case that the Ravens with Tucker are in a more serious position if they lose their kicker than other teams are. It's also a low incidence rate for injury there. So I'm hopeful that that's something that obviously the Ravens don't face for starters, but I think it's I have an economist friend who says you can ponder the ponderables, but don't bother pondering the imponderables because, you know, you just drive yourself nuts with that. So anyway, I think we're on the good side to just say that's an NA position in terms of it, but pretty much agreement down the line here, Sean. Any other thing that you'd add to the overall order of selections you made?
No, I mean, it, interesting that we did them separately and, you know, didn't collude before the show, just because it the theme of it behooves us to get young guys reps early. That I feel like that's really apparent and really true in a lot of different cases this year. Also, I wish you had told me we're not doing long snapper earlier before I spent 6 hours researching street free.
Sure, you did. Well, we'll see how this rolls out, and I'm very excited about the Ravens series. Appreciate you participating in the Concern series as always. He doesn't always know his Twitter handle, but he's at @bmore_high_sky. Always a great guy to tag into a conversation. You want to talk football about something, just tag him in and you'll get some good additional thoughts about it. Sean, anything else to say about people who want to contact you talking football?
Yeah, no. Just don't try to sign me up for your OnlyFans. It's not happening. But anything football related, I'm in.
This is good. This has been a funny show, I think. So I appreciate that. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. We're still got the Concerns series going on. It may be concluded by the time you hear this, but go ahead and DM me if you have a concern that has not been covered yet, and I'll try and work in at some point during camp, but before these preseason games get started. If you want to talk about a recollections, talk about a particular player, you can do that. And if you have a completely unrelated topic to any of this that you think would be interesting, we had a couple of guys from Argentina talk about their heat measuring systems for early detection of muscle injuries. That's the sort of thing that's just fascinating to me. If you've got a different metric to look at for any sort of analysis, love to hear it. Why is it important? How do you calculate it? What are you doing here? I have a number of people on for those kind of shows, so always interested in hearing your new idea. Sean, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Ken. I got one more question for you. I'm sorry, buddy. I haven't heard your take on the new uniform.
The helmet we're talking about now?
Yeah.
I'm okay with the helmet. I'll tell you, my big whiny old man thing about the uniforms are that the color rush jerseys are much more difficult to read than the others. They're still probably better than most other NFL teams, but given the fact that, you know, this is Ken McCusick limited perspective. I'm looking down like a telescope, literally, at this problem. And I'm telling you that it's hard for me to do what I do if I can't read the numbers off jerseys. And if I was a fan of the Miami Dolphins or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two teams who have completely fucking unreadable numbers, I probably would not be doing this. It's that bad. Yeah.
So fair.
Make those damn numbers readable. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Ken. I appreciate your time, buddy.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.